Hi, welcome to Marvelous Mysteries, the podcast. I'm Rebecca.
And I'm Jaden.
And we're going to read our mysteries that we found this week to you, but first we're going to do some icebreakers, like normal. So, first one that I found was, what is, like, the weirdest or strangest thing about you? Like, your quirk or, I don't know, like, you don't know.
I still don't know.
It's, like, whatever you think is, like, strange, I don't know, embarrassing, or thing, something you like about yourself that's different. I mean, like, I have a few, like, I guess I, like, any, my reaction to any emotion is to cry and stuff, like, if I'm happy, I cry, if I'm sad, I cry, if I'm mad, I cry. Like, I think I've said that before, and I think that's strange. I'm trying to think of other things. I don't know, I like to be, like busy, like I've said several times that for like a job I either need something very stressful or I need to be a housewife, so I'm not bored, but I don't know, that seems weird, I guess. I don't know, anything, it's relative obviously,
right.
So like it might be weird to you but not so weird to me, or
I don't know. I mean, I'm sure there definitely is something. I just can't think of anything off the top of my head really. I mean, like, I don't know, sometimes I think people will think it's weird that I actually miss doing homework, or that I bought myself a history textbook and a calculus workbook to reteach myself calculus.
Yeah, I don't like that.
You know?
No, like, I miss being in school, because I like just going to class and like coming home, like I miss that being the only thing I have to worry about, like I don't
right.
like, and I don't like, I didn't like working and being in college or whatever, but I would love to just go back and only do school.
I think it's just because, like, sometimes I need something to, like, test my brain.
Like, to challenge
like,
yourself.
Yeah, because, like, sometimes, there are some days where I feel so brain-numbed and, like, I need to do something to, like...
No, that makes sense. I mean, people do crossword puzzles.
Right.
Whatever. I don't know. Like, whatever their thing is, but...
Like, I'm sure there's something... That's more quirky or whatever, but I just can't think of.
Yeah, I would say that's strange. I don't miss homework, per se. I miss, like, just going to class and also that being the only thing I would worry about. Because it makes school so much easier. I also, like, I did school online, which makes it so much harder because then otherwise I don't have to study at all. Because I need to, like, literally listen and take notes on a lecture. So, like, when I had videos, that was fine. And I did, like, it was easier. I didn't have to study that much. That's all I had to do. But, like, when it's online, you're just reading a textbook. I barely learn anything.
Mm.
So, I mean, if I cared about, like, if I was doing a degree, like, mine is just in business. So I don't care about that. And I didn't need it for the job I have necessarily. Because where I work, they just train you. But, like, if I actually cared about something and wanted to learn it, I would not do online school.
Right. I'll say, I did, like, I had to pre-calc online. Well, I didn't have to. I chose to take it online. And I actually really enjoyed it a lot. But I think that's because of how it was set up very well, you know?
Yeah. I'm not good at teaching myself. And I think a lot of the times it's, like, I did online because I was working at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So I was, like, I don't have time to spend, like, 12 hours a week doing this, you know? So I just, like, did
right.
bare minimum.
Right.
So what's your proudest accomplishment? Would you say? This one's hard for me.
I don't know. Okay. Maybe not the one that comes to mind first. I don't know if it's necessarily my proudest one, but just as it comes naturally,
mm-hmm.
I guess. I guess to be, like, finished writing my book. I haven't published it yet.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm still editing and choosing a book cover, but I feel like that might be one. Just, I don't know. It's something that I feel like a lot of people can do, right? It's, in a sense, quite easy to write a book, if you get my meaning. Like, obviously, it's easy and it isn't easy, but, like, I don't know, I feel like it's just something that so many people do. And, like, you look at, like, well, especially, like, influencers and things, right, and they're like, oh, I wrote a book, and it just seems very, like, anyone can do it, I don't know, so, like, but, like, to me, I feel like
it's definitely accomplishment.
One of my more, I guess, proudest accomplishments, just because it's something that, like, I put a lot of time into,
mm-hmm.
and it's actually finished, right?
Yeah,
well,
plus...
the actual writing portion's finished, but...
Plus, I feel like a lot of people, I'm sure, like, influencers, I don't know who they are or whatever, but a lot of people do, like, you can pay someone to write a large portion of that or help. Like, you can organize the idea, but you don't actually do the writing. Or it's not, like, I don't know. I think the hardest part, like, because I always, like, was, like, because I loved reading. So I was, like, I should write a book. But obviously, it's really, like, I can't organize my thoughts. And also, I don't have any ideas or anything. So it's, like, lame. And also, if I'm not good at something immediately, I give up.
That's right. Exactly.
I tried crocheting for one day. And I was, like, I can't learn this. Because I tried watching the videos. So I was, like, it's really hard. I was, like, I'm done with this. I'm never, and I've not crocheted again. Because I was, like, I can't learn this. So if I'm not immediately, like, okay at it, it's over for me. But yeah, I think it's hard to finish a book. I don't know what my proudest accomplishment is, because, like, I don't really do anything cool, but I think, I mean, I don't know. I was, like, 19th in my class in high school, but it wasn't that hard. like, I mean, I studied and worked hard, but, like,
right. I mean,
I feel like it wasn't, I didn't, like, I mean, I guess I did try hard, but, like, I also was, like, now it's, like, eh, that's not that cool. I wouldn't tell people.
I mean, you're paying yourself through college. I would say that's a pretty, I mean, you're not done with college, but I would say that's probably pretty.
Yeah, but it's.
Proud accomplishment. I mean, I get that's, like, something that everyone kind of does, but at the same time, like, if you're able to pay it off as you go along, which I'm assuming is kind of what you guys are doing.
Yeah, well, my work's paying for it, but.
You're still putting in the effort.
Today. I don't know. I guess I'm trying to think of something because, I don't know. It's hard. I guess I'm trying to think. I guess I did well in hard classes. I don't know. I did like 25 credits one semester. But again, it's not something I worked that hard at. Like, now I also sound like rude because I was like, oh, it wasn't that hard. But it's not something I spent, like, years, like, working to achieve or something, like, that, like, is, like, my own. It's just something I have to do. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I raised my cat. She's doing good. She's cute.
Your own, well, I guess you didn't buy your first home, but, like, you got your first home.
Yeah, you know I have an apartment. Like, actually, I guess, shoot, now I forgot it. I guess I'm very proud of my wedding because I planned all of it, although I didn't, like, people were very generous, so I didn't pay for a lot of it, but yeah. I think I did a good job planning it, and it was one of my favorite weddings.
No, it was a good wedding. I really enjoyed it. Yeah. I was there.
Yes. Yeah, like, I really liked it. Like, it was really nice, and, like, it was relaxing for everyone, like, all my parents, although my mom was very stressed the day before, but we all were, but, like... But there wasn't, like...
Even the day of, like, leading up to it, I remember, like, we all sat in that back room and just, like, played
again. Yeah, it was, like whatever. Yeah, it was really nice. Like, my extended family was, like... Because we were on our honeymoon, so we couldn't go to the family, like, party or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
This is in... It's, like, our wedding was around Christmas time, but, everyone was, like... could not believe it's so how fun it was, like, my aunts and stuff. So I think I'm proud of that. Like, I really loved planning it. Like, I know people hate weddings or, like, oh, I would not do that again, but I would definitely plan a wedding again. Like, for sure.
I'm not planning getting married anytime soon.
I told my sister that I said I cannot wait till you get married because I can't wait to plan, like, your bachelorette party and your bridal shower and stuff because I like planning event. Like, I think it would be fun, yeah. And I'm good at it, and, like...
You should get either own or work at, like, an event planning business.
Yeah, maybe. I won't.
Okay.
I won't. Yeah, you can't tell. I got in a fight with my sister because she's like, you should do this with your life. And I was like, yeah, but it doesn't make logical sense. And, like, and I explained it to her, and she's like, okay, fine, don't do it then. And I was like, I won't, because she got mad, because I tend to do that, and it really annoys people, because they're, like, trying to be nice. I do that to Isaac all the time, because he's like, oh, you could do this. I'm like, no, I'll just do the same thing that makes the most logical sense to me, even if I'm, like, unhappy, because there's no real, I can't, like, convince myself. But I'm proud of my wedding. Like, it was pretty, it was, like, I wouldn't, like, my friend was talking about her wedding and how she, like, the things she would change. And I would change almost nothing besides, like, even, at, like, because I was, like, maybe we should have gotten married in the summer or something. Because then, like, because now, like, it's, like, our anniversary, then my birthday, then Christmas, then my birthday, then Isaac's birthday is all within, like, 2 months, mm-hmm. which is, like, it's expensive and a lot of events. And then also I don't get gifts later in the year, but also Isaac just gets me gifts, like, throughout the year. And but I'm also, like, but then I couldn't have had the same theme that I really liked, so I would have. Yeah,
it was a good wedding.
Yeah, and I feel like, I don't know, there's, like, several things. Like, my mom helped out a lot, but, like, there's certain things, like, that, like, I was surprised how well it worked and everything. Her mm-hmm. boyfriend, like, emceed it, so, like, everything went through really smoothly. There was, like, a wedding coordinator who's one of our friends who did, like, thank goodness she was there, but, like, thank goodness, like, so, like, thank goodness we had, like, I chose to hire her, but not like, really.
Props to
me. It was actually her gift to us for her to do that, but, because she was, like, our friend, but I don't know. That's one of my proudest accomplishments was the planning of that, so. Okay, and then, sorry, that was really long.
It's okay.
Then the last one is, describe one of the best days of your life. I mean, I have several, but...
I have many. I just like any memories I have with my family. You know, like, that trip that we... That was nice. That whole, like, Disney World Universal trip we went on. That was really nice. And, like, obviously it was nice because we got to go to those places. But even, like, the nights where we were, like, kind of just, like, walked around or, like...
Yeah.
Stayed at the hotel, but, like, went... Or at the Airbnb or...
Mm-hmm.
Just kind of, like, hanging out. Like, I just really like spending time with family. So I feel like I don't really have, like, a specific one. But I have like those type of moments.
I have several. I mean, obviously my wedding, that was one of my favorite days. Because it's like, sometimes when you go to other people's weddings, it's awkward and stuff. And like, because you only know a few people. But like, I knew everyone at my wedding. And it was all my favorite people. And I loved dancing. And
I feel like everyone got along pretty well too. Yeah. Even if they didn't know each other.
Yeah, I also loved like the music. Like, also, like, I don't mind, like, I love the attention, and I liked being treated special, like, everyone's like, it's your wedding day, let me get you coffee, I like the attention, so, it's nice to be, like, pampered and stuff, but, and then also, my last one, or I have a few more, but,
that's fine.
When I went to, I went to Switzerland, Paris, France, and Italy with my mom and sister for, like, a school trip, and that was... There were several days, but I think the last day we're in France, like, we had gone to the Louvre in the morning, we ate lunch, and we just, like, laid in the park in France, and it was amazing and super fun. It was nice to spend time with them. And my last one is, like, when Isaac and I were first dating, we both had, like, whatever job, so we both, like, called in sick, and, like, we went to, like, there's, like, a small town close to us, and we went and, like, walked around, and we got lunch, and it was, like, super fun, because, like, it was really fun to call in sick, because I had never done that for a job, actually, before, so that, like, I already had been prepared to work that day, so it's, like, nice to have that done,
mm-hmm.
even though we weren't sick, and then also, like, it was, like, a really nice day, it was, like, beautiful, it was the summer, so we just, like, hung out, and then, like, went to, like, walked around town, we walked... like, through neighborhoods and stuff. We got lunch. Like, we went into shops. It was super fun. Got coffee. All that stuff. So, I have, like, several. It's hard to pick one day, but... Because there's, like, with different people, too, that I had... Right. That stand out to me, so...
Yeah. Like I said, anything with, like, my family or close friends, I would say. There's one instance. I don't know if Lydia ever told you about it. I'm not going to go into the whole story on here, but just to tell you... Although the last trip I went on was bad for the church, the high school group one.
Yeah, she's told me about that.
That whole experience, while it was bad, it was fun at the same time. Like, it's, in a weird way, it's one of my favorite memories because of how much her and I and our other friend had bonded.
Yeah, even though it was, like, traumatic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah. I mean, I just like memories I have with people that I love and care about, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, there's, like, so many. There's more, even, you know, that I could say. I mean, my honeymoon was very nice, too.
So you guys go? Oh, you guys went to Disney,
yeah,
too.
We're in Disney. But it was nice. Although, like, we were there for New Year's Eve, and we didn't go to the thing, so we had to get up at 5 a.m. the next day to go to the... Because there's that Star Wars World. And yeah. You have to go and you have to be there at 7 a.m. and check in immediately if you want to get on their new ride or whatever. Wow. And we did that and we didn't get in until 5:30. And if you're in that group, like, you may or may not, like, get to ride that ride. So that's why we slept through New Year's, like, because we were boring too. But, like, we heard the fireworks from our hotel that were in, like, Disney Springs or whatever. And they were loud. They woke us up. So that would have been cool to see. But we also, like, had to get up at 5. So it would not have been great. But, okay. So did you go first last week or did I go first?
I don't remember.
What did I do?
You did. Oh, like, I did the Voynich thing.
The book.
Is that what it's called?
But yeah, the manuscript thing. What did you do?
I did the Gatton murders, but right. I don't remember when first. We should probably keep a record of who.
Yeah, I feel like.
Did I go first?
I think you did almost.
I think I did, too, because I remember I said mine, and then you're talking about yours, and I was like, oh, like, I really read those type of things. So I think it was the one first.
So you can go ahead. So I'm going first. So I don't know if you remember this, because this is only a few years ago, but it's the Malaysian Airlines Flight 370 that went missing.
I heard about it, but, yeah, I don't know too much about it.
Okay, so I didn't go into a ton of detail, because I just did basically the theories and some background. So
that's what I did, too, for mine.
Yeah, so I don't have time to go into that much detail. This podcast isn't that long. And I have worked, so the flight was scheduled, it's an international passenger flight operated by Malaysian Airlines. It disappeared March 8th, 2014, while flying from Kuala Lumpur International Airport to Beijing International Airport. So the crew lost communication with air traffic control around 38 minutes after takeoff when the flight was over the South China Sea. The aircraft was lost from the ATC radar screens a few minutes later, but was later tracked by military radar for another hour, going westwards from its planned flight, crossing the Malay Peninsula and Andaman Sea. It left the radar's range 200 nautical miles northwest of Penang Island. Okay, so there were 227... So background, this plane has never been found. They found bits and pieces of it, right. But no one knows what happened. So there were 227 passengers, 12 crew members on the flight. 153 of the passengers were Chinese citizens, including a group of 19 artists with 6 family members and 4 staff returning from a calligraphy exhibition of their work in Kuala Lumpur. I don't know. Sorry. 38 passengers were Malaysian. The remaining 12 were just from 12 different countries. 20 of the passengers, 12 from Malaysia, 8 from China, were employees of Freescale Semiconductors, which is an American semiconductor company, which a semiconductor, in case you don't know, like, I don't know if this is interesting at all, but it's basically like materials that have electronic conductivity valve falling between the conductor, which is like the metal, and the insulator, which is like a gas or glass or something. Mm-hmm. If that makes any sense. I don't know. Mm-hmm. So basically all these people disappeared. And the cool thing that I just noted was there's like, because of an agreement with Malaysian Airlines and an international Buddhist organization, the organization immediately sent specially trained members to Beijing and Malaysia to give emotional assistance to the passengers' families. The airline also sent a team of caregivers and volunteers and agreed to pay for the expenses of bringing family members and passengers to Kuala Lumpur and provide accommodation, medical care, and counseling for the families, which is really nice, I think. I mean, they could have been at fault, the airline, but
right.
So it might just be, but we don't know, again. So the search became the most expensive search in aviation history. It focused on the South China Sea and the Andaman Sea. Analysis of the aircraft's automated communications with an Inmarsat satellite indicated a possible crash site somewhere in the Indian Ocean. The Chinese public fiercely criticized the lack of information the days after the disappearance. Most people aboard were Chinese. That's why the Chinese public was so involved. They found have found several pieces of debris to be that is confirmed to be from the aircraft that washed ashore from the Western Indian Ocean during 2015 and 2016. After a 3-year search across 120,000 square kilometers of ocean, the Joint Agency Coordination Center suspended the search in 2017. There was a second search launched in 2018 by a private contractor, but it ended in 6 months with no success. So basically, I remember, I didn't like go more into detail about what they did. I kind of remember when it happened, like they were like scuba divers looking in the ocean, they were searching like everywhere, but it's just like they've only found those bits and pieces from the plane. So it's just like, I remember at the time it just like disappeared. There's no like any evidence anywhere of it. So here are the theories that I found. The first one is passenger involvement. So there were two men that boarded the flight with stolen passports. This raised suspicion. The passports, one was Austrian and one was Italian, had been reported stolen in Thailand within the preceding two years. Interpol stated that both passports were listed on the stolen and lost travel document database and that no check had been made against the database since the passports went missing. So I'm going to get some water. These passengers purchased 2 one-way tickets through China Southern Airlines. It was reported that an Iranian, had ordered the cheapest tickets to Europe via telephone in Bangkok, Thailand, and paid in cash. The two passengers were identified as Iranian men. They are believed to be asylum seekers, though, so the Secretary General of Interpol stated that the organization was inclined to conclude that it was not a terrorist incident. So they probably weren't the people if there was passenger involvement. The other passenger, like, there was one passenger who did work as a flight engineer for a Swiss jet charter company and was briefly under suspicion as a potential hijacker because he was thought to have, like, relevant aviation skills. But nothing came of that. And any hijacker, like, they can't prove anything. Because there's no communication, and the hijacker would have just died with them, so.
Right, I thought there'd be
and I guess
signs.
Yeah. I guess I'm not really sure what the point of, like, a hijacking is, if it's, like, just to disappear and nothing else would have to happen with it.
Mm-hmm.
The U.S. and Malaysian officials reviewed the backgrounds of every single passenger named on the manifest on March 18th. The Chinese government announced that they checked all the Chinese citizens on the aircraft and ruled out that there was any possibility of a terrorist attack. So the next series, crew involvement. So the U.S. believed that the U.S. officials believe the most likely explanation is that someone in the cockpit for the flight reprogrammed the autopilot to travel south across the Indian Ocean. Police searched the homes of the pilots and seized their financial records for all of the 12 crew members, including bank statements, credit card bills, and mortgage documents. On April 2nd, the Malaysian Police Inspector General said that more than 170 interviews have been conducted as part of the Malaysia's criminal investigation, including interview family members of the pilots. The media claimed that the Malaysian police had identified Captain Zahari as the prime suspect if human intervention were eventually proven to be the reasons for the flight's disappearance. The FBI reconstructed deleted data from the captain's home, finding he had a home flight simulator, which I don't know what that is, really.
Home flight simulator?
Yeah.
Actually, isn't it more of like, not VR, but it's kind of like a simulator, okay. Like that, I thought. I'm sure there's multiple types nowadays.
I wasn't sure if it was on a computer or like a so like his own thing.
Well, but... right, that sounds, yeah, it might be more like a computer based okay. thing. That last time.
And is it just for them to practice, like their flights?
I think so. I think, okay. Yeah, I think so. Just for them to like know to what know controls the ways. Do what. I think.
Yeah.
I could be very wrong, but
okay. Oh, so they deleted the deleted data, but a Malaysian government spokesperson said there's nothing sinister. In March 2015, the preliminary report issued by Malaysia stated that there was no evidence or of recent or immediate significant financial transactions carried out. So, like, nothing in his finances. And there was analysis of the behavior of the pilots on CCTV, but there was no, like, evidence of their behavior changing when they watched them in the footage. In 2016, a leaked American document stated a route on the pilot's home flight simulator closely matched the projected flight over the Indian Ocean. Was found during the FBI analysis of the flight simulator on the computer hard drive. It was later confirmed by the Australian Transportation Safety Bureau, although the agency stressed that it did not prove his involvement. In 2018, the sister of the pilot said that the safety investigation report showed nothing negative about the pilot flying the plane. According to the report, there were 7 manually programmed waypoint coordinates that, when connected together, created a flight path from KLIA to an area south of the Indian Ocean through the Andaman Sea. However, forensic reports concluded that there were no unusual activities other than the game-related flight simulators. And they were dated February 3rd, 2014, but could have originated from different files. So, like, there's really no evidence. There's no evidence of anything, honestly, but, because they don't have the plane or anything, you know. Right, they don't have any. It's just gone. So this is kind of, like, this is the cargo theory. So this is going to be, like, kind of annoying for me to, like, annoying for you to listen to me, maybe, but. So the flight was carrying 23,823 pounds of cargo, which is 4 load devices of magnesium and 487 pounds of lithium-ion batteries are of interest, according to Malaysian investigators. The batteries were contained in a 5,409-pound consignment being transported between Motorola Solutions facility in Malaysia and China. The rest consisted of walkie-talkie chargers and accessories. The batteries were assembled March 7th and transported to the Penang cargo complex to be transported by mass cargo to be loaded onto a lorry to transport to Kuala Lumpur International Airport, onwards by air to Beijing. So it's like 5,000 pounds of batteries or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Blah, blah, blah. So basically, it was inspected by mass cargo employees in Malaysian customs, but did not go through a security screening before the truck was sealed for transport to the airport. It did not go through any additional inspections at the Kuala Lumpur Airport before it was loaded onto the flight. Since the batteries were packaged according to IATA guidelines, they were not regulated as dangerous goods. So lithium-ion batteries can cause intense fires if they overheat and ignite, which normally these batteries have strict regulations on airports. And there are all these, they're called magnesiums, which are like a flower of some sort that are also interesting. Both of these were on this flight or whatever. So these are both like things of interest that could have caused the fire problems.
Right.
So we don't know. And then here are the wild theories that there are. So the first wild theory These are, like, just whatever I found. There's no, obviously, no evidence of anything necessarily.
Right. Mm-hmm.
These are just less likely. So they thought that Russian special ops took it. So actress could have broken into the electronics and equipment bay, access through the first class cabin. A well-trained hijacker could theoretically have started pulling the plane's electronics apart and faked some satellite data that researchers have used to pinpoint the path of the flight. So wherever they thought the flight was, it might not even be there. Because a experienced hijacker could have
rewritten the flight pattern.
Yeah, so the plane, they thought that the plane went in north into Asia, into Kazakhstan? I don't know. Sorry, it's Russian. Where the runways and buildings are large enough to hide a plane. So they thought maybe that's where it is. The second theory is that the U.S. military shot down. So there's the atoll of Diego Garcia has a U.S. military base and is located in the middle of the Indian Ocean. One theory suggests the plane was headed there on a kamikaze mission and was secretly shot down by U.S. military before it could reach its final target. They thought Americans faked the satellite data and scooped up every last bit of debris to keep it a secret. The other one is that it's in Pakistan. These are just ones I found. I'm sure you can find, like, hundreds of theories, you know. They thought it was a plot to make trouble for China, and the flight could have landed in northern Pakistan. People thought the plane was outfitted with explosives or even nuclear weapons. There's another theory that, like, the plane has been taken and is being stored, and they're going to use it for some sort of another plot, like some sort of, like, similar to 9/11 or something.
Yeah.
That they're keeping it. Yep. That they're keeping it safe or something like that. I've seen a theory that the pilot or one of the crew was committing suicide. So they just, like, crashed the plane. And then, of course, that it was abducted by aliens.
Oh, shoot.
since the flight vanished, there's no traces except for a little debris. A lot of people think that an alien abducting the plane would account for the reason that there's no evidence, or maybe that it was, like, sucked up by a black hole or something. Oh, so, of course, that's... Oh,
you just unplugged your computer.
Oh, I thought it was the audio. I was like, oh, no. Okay, yeah, so, of course, this flight could have been just abducted by aliens, too, but... That's all. Sorry, it's not more in detail, and there's, like, no real conclusion.
Okay
no. It unplugged again. Sorry. Yeah, so there's no real conclusion just because nobody knows. So,
right.
It was interesting. There's a lot of, like, plane information, like how you fly a plane and stuff like that, which is, like, not that interesting to me. Or, like, it's hard for me to understand, and I don't want to just, like, explain it, but so that's what I have this week.
So I mean maybe it is on a different list, but I was gonna say I would have expected someone to be like, it's the Bermuda Triangle.
Yeah, I don't think it went anywhere near the Bermuda Triangle though.
I just feel like that was like, I don't know
where the Bermuda Triangle technically is in relation to like the Indian Ocean.
I'm gonna look it up. I just feel like a lot, like, we talk about the Bermuda Triangle a lot in, that's a map it gave me.
That's
a,
like,
blue screen.
Yeah, it's just
water.
A blank. I thought it was more, like,
okay,
in the Bahamas.
It's a section of the North Atlantic Ocean off of North America in which more than 50 ships and airplanes are said to have mysteriously disappeared. So it's in the North Atlantic Ocean. I just feel like I remember us talking a lot about it in elementary school, and I don't know why we did. It just seems like that and talking about whales was...
I didn't talk about... Oh, wait, it's more... It's not really... Where is the Indian Ocean? It's over... This is where the plane landed.
Oh, okay.
And the Bermuda Triangle's over here.
Okay, that's not where
it's on
Bermuda
the
Triangle
side of the world.
I thought it was somewhere else. Whoops. All right.
No, that's okay. It's more towards, like, China, because it was going from Malaysia to China
sense.
This way. But it went that way instead.
Mm. Oh, I see. Okay.
So it's supposed to go
it went,
here.
Like, totally off flight pattern.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought it was, like, it was flying. For some reason, I didn't put two and two together of where the locations were.
I wouldn't have either.
Malaysia
I was just seeing it now.
China. But in my head, I was thinking as if they were flying across, like, a body of water, and I didn't realize they had, like, gone the opposite direction.
Yeah, so it's somewhere here. The plane.
Maybe Australia took it.
Yeah, well, they were involved. And it's,
okay.
I think it's also, not in the crash, their police or something kind of
Oh,
helped.
okay.
I think it's also probably, like, part of the reason it was hard is because there's all these, like, international people, like, looking into it, and they all have their own, like,
Theories and
and procedures and
right.
jurisdictions and stuff. So, and I'm sure they're, like, a little competitive with each other, too, you know,
Yeah.
or whatever. So, I don't know. Anyways.
Okay, hold on, let me get some water before I begin. So, mine's not that long because I kind of procrastinated but didn't because I did it yesterday when I got home from work. And I don't know. I do find it interesting, like what I chose, I found interesting. It's just I just didn't go into as much detail a lot of it as like I found a little bit of background information that I wrote down, and then everything else is like a short explanation of a list of theories. Like there's a lot of theories. So I chose the, you know, I really should look up the name of this and how to pronounce it, but I think it's pronounced the Antikythera mechanism.
Oh, I can't see. Yeah, that looks correct. Antikythera.
Anyways, okay. So if you don't know what it is, it's an ancient Greek hand-powered orrery. An orrery is a type of mechanical model of the solar system. And or of the sun, earth, and moon. It's used to represent their approximate positions and motions. The Antikythera is described as the first analog computer. It helps predict astronomical positions and eclipses for calendar and astronomical purposes decades in advance.
I was just getting a little closer to
You're
you.
good.
This is
I
so
kept
slow.
seeing it like in my peripheral. Anyways, it's made of 30 metal gears that work together. Similar devices didn't exist until the 14th century, which is about 1300 years after the Antikythera was built, which is very odd because since it was built so long before anything else like it came, you know. So in 1901, divers found a shipwreck off the coast of the Greek island Antikythera. It was full of artifacts, and they were excavated and taken to the National Museum in Athens, which is where archaeologists were able to piece together sculptures and pottery, and anything else that they had found from the shipwreck. But they decided to ignore a calcified lump of wood and bronze, which was a mistake, seeing as what was hidden inside challenge ideas about ancient civilization and their technology. The lump was part of the Antikythera mechanism. And also, research of its origins didn't begin until the 1950s, which is when Dr. J. DeSola Price started to investigate. He started investigating in 1951, to be exact. But his research had little impact. But over the years, with the help of Oh my gosh, sorry. My Google Docs like autocorrected words into
Oh.
incorrect words. But over the years, with the help of X-rays, carbon dating, and translation of the inscriptions, a lot of information about the mechanism have been collected, but there are still many unanswered questions. So that's just a little bit of backstory that I found about it, before jumping right into the theories. I mean, like, they didn't really have much on it, I don't think. Like, I didn't go that far in depth when researching about it, but just from like, gosh, I'm keeping my computer, just from like the short things that I read and everything like that. Like, it just kind of sounded like they didn't really have much to go on in the first place. So there's a lot of theories. I don't know if I should read them all because there's like 12, but they're all very like
No,
short
that's fine.
things.
Yeah,
So.
read them.
So the first theory is it's even older than previously thought. Originally, scientists believed that the Antikythera mechanism dated between 150 and 100 BCE, But new research places its creation around 205 BCE, which, what's so strange is that since similar artifacts didn't begin appearing until the 14th century, it appears that this technology just disappeared. So yeah, there's the first one.
Okay.
The second one is, it was invented by
Hippocrates?
Hippocrates, maybe?
Hippocrates?
I'm going to say Hippocrates. He was a Greek astronomer whose legacy was continued by oh my gosh, so many Greek names. how would you say that? Posidonius?
Yeah, Posidonius.
Okay, an astronomy school where he taught young scholars. One of Posidonius' pupils, Cicero, once wrote, Posidonius created a device, and this is in quotes, which at each revolution reproduces the same motions of the sun, the moon, and the five planets that take place in the heavens every day and night, which sounds a whole lot like the Antikythera mechanism. But Posidonius wasn't alive in the 2nd century BCE when the mechanism was made. However, Hipparchus was, sort of saying that maybe Posidonius created an instrument based on the Antikythera mechanism, which Hipparchus had made years earlier. Number three is, the mechanism is proof of time travel.
Okay.
I keep hitting my computer against the wall. So if you hear banging, that's what that is. So it could be time travel. So it says the mechanism dates the 2nd century BCE, and comparable technology didn't begin appearing until centuries later. Then its existence might be proof of time travel. Maybe whoever invented it was a time traveler from the future, or perhaps it's actually a futuristic device that was brought back to ancient Greece and left there on purpose. The next one is that it was a hoax. Despite overwhelming scientific evidence to the contrary, some believe that the whole thing is a hoax. After all, it is difficult to reconcile the age of the Antikythera mechanism with its technological advancement. Some have compared the mechanism to the Turk, which is a fake chess-playing robot built in the 18th century. However, scientists have already admitted that the Turk was fake. Which is why they're like, if they've already lied about that, they could be lying about the actual use mm-hmm. of the Antikythera. So the next one is, aliens gave it to us.
Okay.
The Antikythera mechanism is very old, and was clearly a huge step forward in technology. How did the Greeks come up with the idea to build it? And mm-hmm. they're like saying they didn't.
Okay.
So according to they mean, like, the TV show Ancient Aliens, or do they mean, like, the actual Ancient Aliens? It doesn't specify. But anyways, so I'm saying that perhaps what happened was, beings with advanced knowledge of astronomical bodies, mathematics, and precision engineering tools created the device or gave the knowledge for its creation to someone during the 1st century BC. But the knowledge was not recorded or wasn't passed down to anyone else. So aliens either gave humans this device or the knowledge to build it, but didn't do anything to ensure that we learned from or built upon it. Next one is, it came from the lost city of Atlantis, which was
okay.
one of my previous
throwback
to a couple episodes ago. So much like the alien theory, this one revolves solely around the fact that the Antikythera mechanism appears to be too technologically advanced for its time. Atlantis is a mythological technology. Gosh, I can't say any words. It's a mythological, technologically advanced city that sunk into the sea. Plato wrote about the city in a series of allegories, but many people believe it actually exists. And some of those people think the Antikythera mechanism is proof that Atlantis is real. They think that the mechanism originated in Atlantis, not Greece, because it was far too advanced for any known civilization at the time. Getting water.
Okay.
next one is that its purpose was to depopulate the earth. So there's like a video, I didn't watch the actual video about it that it came with, but the main highlights are that, like, it was made by the Illuminati. It was made by an ancient race of lizard people. Its purpose was to depopulate the Earth. It was not, in fact, powered by a hand crank, but a Mac computer, because those things are all owned by the Illuminati. And it just ends with, like, all these ideas seem very legit.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so they think they could have been created to depopulate the Earth, which I should have gone into that one more, because I feel like that theory especially is, like, how would that depopulate the Earth? But, I mean, if anybody's interested, look it up. So, next is, it's evidence of the intelligent design. Intelligent design is a theory suggesting many things on Earth are far too complex to be the result of a simple evolution, and therefore were deliberately created by a higher being. Some people believe the Antikythera mechanism is evidence of intelligent design because it is so much more advanced than any other device that has been found from that time period. If this is indeed the case, you kind of have to wonder what divine being would spend time making such a tiny thing with such an important purpose. Okay, I'm near the end. Sorry, I was like checking how much farther I had to go. So the next one is, it was looted from Rhodes. So Rhodes is an island off the coast of Greece. The ship that was carrying the mechanism was loaded with Greek treasures and headed for Rome. One theory for why this may be is the island of Rhodes was looted and the Antikythera mechanism was stolen. And Rhodes was looted because as part of the triumph parade for Julius Caesar after a successful campaign against the Greeks. So they're saying, like, could Julius Caesar inadvertently be responsible for the loss of it? Okay. Well, I mean, it wasn't his fault. It's just because there was,
his fault.
It's Julius Caesar. Just because there was such, like, a parade going on for him.
Totally stab Caesar. Have you seen Mean Girls?
Yeah. We watched it in my class because we're reading Julius Caesar.
That's funny.
Next is, the mechanism predicted the color of the eclipses, and it does say right next to the title that this one is impossible, but I will still read it. New translation of text on the Antikythera mechanism show that the device may have predicted the color of eclipses, which according to scientists is impossible.
Mm-hmm.
So they're like, were the predictions that it gave just merely guesses, or did the ancient Greeks actually know something that we didn't?
Okay.
The second to last one is the Anunnaki. I had this in a previous one. I think these are the lizard people.
Okay.
Maybe. Yeah, I don't know. These might be the lizard people. Anyways, okay. The Anunnaki are a supposed race of ancient aliens who visited and lived on Earth, leaving behind clues of their existence. One such clue may be the Antikythera mechanism. The mechanism calculates when lunar eclipses will occur, which advanced space aliens would probably know something about, and its seemingly singular technology was, as far as we know, very different from anything else that was constructed around 200 BCE. I'm sorry, I need to look up what the Anunnaki is. I think those are the lizard people. Oh no, then who are the lizard people? Who are the lizard people? I don't want to have this on my search history. Anyways. So, the last theory is that there may have been more mechanisms produced. Mike Edmonds from Cardiff University has an interesting theory about the mechanism. Much reporting about the device focuses on the fact that it is a singular and very advanced for its time.
Okay.
But Edmonds thinks that the mechanism was maybe being transported to a customer when the ship carrying it sunk. He writes, if one device was being delivered, might there be more? If not on this ship, then perhaps on others from Rhodes. But yeah, that's kind of the end of that one. So they're saying that perhaps there could have been more produced that are just waiting to be discovered. They could still be on the island because only one was ever on the ship in the first place, and mm-hmm. You know all that.
Okay.
But yeah. So that's from my end. Like I said, I didn't go too in-depth with the theories, but I also figured that since there were 12, I was not about to go through each and every individual theory, and I had a very short amount of time. I really should probably stop procrastinating.
I was thinking I should do some more, because next month I'll be busy, like, do some in advance.
But I know, I should do that too.
Yeah, I have a list of ones that I'm like, this would be good if I do that, but then every week I, like, don't do that. I'm like, no, I'm not doing this. I'll save them. Ow. I just hit my hand. But, like, I never do the ones I've saved. Like, I didn't, like, write them all out, but I have ideas already, because, like, looking for an idea is, like, half of it or whatever, but...
Right.
It's fine. Maybe one day I'll be prepared.
One day I'll be prepared.
But, yeah, that's all we have this week.
I think the Anunnaki were the aliens for my one podcast about the Sphinx.
Oh.
The pyramids. But I thought they were lizard people. Anyways... Thanks for listening.
Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube. You can comment on our stuff if you want to do a mystery, if you want us to do a certain mystery or answer any questions for you. You can comment on Instagram or tweet on Twitter to us. You can message us on Facebook. You can DM us on anything. Comment on YouTube. There's multiple ways. Just whatever. But yeah, that's all. Thanks for listening.
We'll see you
next week.
Bye.